It's 29 minutes now to midday, and joining me in the studio is no stranger to Arkfield FM, but he's no stranger to the position he finds himself in now either. A newly elected president of the Arkfield Chamber of Commerce, Chris Lawson, welcome.
Good morning.
I say not new to the position, really, but new to the position, because it was 30 years ago that you were president first time round.
I just can't remember much about that.
You have an affinity with this town, don't you?
I do. I like the town. We joined the chamber back in 87.
Yeah.
When Derek Thorpe's Menswear, he was president then.
We're doing history lessons here now, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, it's quite fun. You know the exhibition that's going to be on at the Bridge Cottage,
mm-hmm,
at the High Street, where I was sort of talking to Maria, who's putting that together. And you go back into the archives of our files and start looking at the pictures of the shops in the High Street and see how many changes there have been. And although we tended to focus on one particular shop because we were marketing it, there are other pictures in those files which show four or five shops in a row. And it's quite fascinating when you see all the changes that have taken place over the last 30 years.
Well, it's not just in retail aspects, is it really? The whole of life has changed quite dramatically in the course of those 30 years. I mean, how different is it going to be this time round as being president to how it was then? I mean, what sort of things will you be looking at and dealing with?
We've got a committee of 10, and we've got three more people who want to join it. So you've got to get things through the committee to make sure everyone's in agreement with the way you want to go forward. I think the big change now is we've somehow got to get the politicians to listen to the business point of view. That's going to be quite tricky.
That's quite some statement you just made there, because they will tell you they are listening.
No. Well, the exercise, I mean, I came back onto the committee having been just an ordinary member for many years because of the pavement widening issue. I didn't think the chamber was punching quite as hard as it could do, and I wanted to support it.
What would be the chamber's position on that?
Well, one of the key things we wanted was some lorry parking bays, and they just ignored us. And you can see now that, you know, when a lorry turns up to deliver to a high street shop and just stops, it's absolute gridlock because no one can get up or down the high street. So we were right, but they didn't listen to us. And it was quite clear that what the politicians will do in a public meeting when the newspapers and the radio are listening is one thing. But when you get them in a closed meeting behind doors in East Sussex County Council headquarters, it's quite different.
Mm.
And so somehow one's got to get the business view across.
But isn't this also the view of the planners as well that you've got to get to when you start talking about those sorts of things? This is what I was trying to find out, really. When you look back at go back to even as recent as 1991, although it's sort of nearly 30 years ago, life was a little more simple than it seems to be now.
I think there was a bit more tolerance then. I mean, one of the campaigns that I was involved in those days, when Tony Walker of Milbank Electronics was president, was he set up a project to get a right-turn filter at the bottom of the high street, because in the old days you couldn't turn right at the bottom easily. There was no right filter.
Yeah.
And East Sussex Highways denied there was any room to do it. So the Chamber embarked upon a policy. They invited all sorts of councillors and highways engineers to a meeting at Buxted Park, and they had a big presentation. And in those days, we didn't have sort of computers and PowerPoints. It was all photographs mounted on card. And we were able to demonstrate that by natural selection, traffic was forming two lanes at the bottom, those that wanted to turn right and those that didn't. And although they denied it at the time, about 6 months later, they came along and changed the traffic lights.
Isn't this what some people want at the top of the high street as well now, isn't it?
I mean, I think there's some merit in that as well. So it's a question of using what influence one has to see what one can do. Planning is another big issue. I mean, you know, it's all very well building houses right, left and centre, if you can, but where are people going to work? They can't all get on the trains that don't run from Uckfield to London. And what about businesses in the area who want to expand? I mean, not much thought seems to be given to that. So
it seems to be a general problem of a growing population, and a lack of investment in infrastructure seems to be causing a lot of issues and problems, which means that the work of the Chamber of Commerce becomes slightly complex.
Different. So it's a question of picking some issues and seeing what we can do to influence them, if we can carry the committee with us. We've got some issues that the Chamber want to get involved in with. We want to rebuild a website because social media and websites is the way communication is going forward. I mean, when I was last president, we didn't have the internet.
No, I was going to say that the whole thing is very different.
In the post.
Yeah.
And so it's changed a lot. I also think that the Chamber ought to link itself to a charity. Again, back in the old days, 30 years ago, we used to support the Uckfield Hospital League of Friends. And we ran a tombola stall in their fete every year to help raise money for the new hospital. Well, of course, once the new hospital was built, that stopped. And I'm just wondering whether we ought to do something again, because all the Uckfield businesses are earning a living out of the Uckfield area. Maybe the Chamber should be seen to be playing a role in giving something back to the community. It's just a thought, something to put to the committee and see whether they think that's a good idea. I think the hospital is the least contentious charity to support, because if you start favouring one over the other, you're going to be in trouble. And we have a lot of charities which are Chamber members anyway. But I think there's some sense in doing that.
Well, good luck. Good luck with the thought on that one, because, say, the Chamber of Commerce, as I say, generally, for most people tend to think business, think retail shops and that. But the face of retail, not just in this town, but everywhere else, is changing. And lots and lots and lots of Chambers of Commerce got involved a long time ago with industry that wasn't retail.
We're no different.
Yeah, exactly the point.
Probably it's fair to say that today non-retail members dominate the membership compared with 30 years ago. We still do a huge amount for the High Street in terms of the late-night shopping event which is put on, and that's usually organised by a number of retailers who are either ex-members of the committee or ex-presidents who have been actively involved in the past. And we do the magazine, which started up many years ago. It was called Festive Fantasies in those days, but now it's sort of Uckfield Late Night Shopping magazine. And that's all to promote retailing and shopping in the High Street for the good of the retailers.
I mean, we know the whole of the environment is changing with regards to shopping, and the High Street, the face of the High Street is changing. You said yourself that you'd seen pictures of how the High Street was and the various different shops and how much the High Street had changed. And of course, lots of High Streets these days are becoming a haven for coffee shops, for estate agents and charity shops.
Don't forget nail bars and hairdressers.
Well, yeah, you can put those in. You can put those in there. You can put any number of the service industries in there.
Is anything you can't do on the internet?
That doesn't equate to the internet, which makes, you know, your relevance, different, doesn't it?
Well, yes, but there are actually a number of people coming back into the High Street who started online. The guy who sells guitars at the top of the shop, at the top of the High Street, is one of those. We've got a couple of other inquiries at the moment of people who are doing online retailing and now want bricks and mortar premises because it gives them some credibility for their business. So they want to come back in and gives them a bit of prominence. So there is a slight drift back the other way. But by and large, no, it's going, you know, have you found anything Amazon doesn't sell yet?
Well, there is.
But also, in our smaller Sussex towns, and I'm not sure you see it in a Brighton or a Crawley or a Tunbridge Wells, but there, when you look at Heathfield or Crowborough or Uckfield, you've got very, very strong community links now through the Facebook pages, through things like Uckfield FM and Uckfield News. Crowborough's got a Crowborough News site. Hasn't got a radio station yet, but it's...
We'd like to work on that one.
but there's a community feel that we support each other.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of thing that, you know, if I can buy it in Uckfield, I will, because I'm supporting the community.
That's within a certain group, because you've still got it's very noticeable away from the larger metropolitan centres that you've still got this rather large supermarket, what I call the supermarket mentality, where prices is an all-important thing, and the instant thought is, oh, I can go to the supermarket and get it, and if that doesn't work, I'll go to Amazon. There is a large proportion of the population that will do that as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's
so how are you going to win them back?
Well, it's a mix, isn't it? I mean, what is interesting is if you look in our High Streets at the moment in the small towns, you'll find very little empty premises at the moment, very few empty shops, because the demand is there from people who want to put their toe in the water and have a go at being a small retailer. Now, whether that's good in the long term, I don't know.
Are they retailers or are they part of the service industry? And the thing that I was going to ask you about...
Well, I mean, you say that. George Moss Jewellers, he opened his new shop in the High Street. He spent 6 months rebuilding that building to open a new, larger shop from what he had before. So he's a retailer. Fluffy Side Up, coming back into the town in a High Street shop to sell carpets.
Yeah.
Subway, all right, they're food, but they're selling food in the High Street. Yeah. You can go. I mean, it's no different to a sandwich shop, is it?
No,
it's just a different
sort
of
sandwich shop.
Different sort of sandwich shop. So those are proper retailers, in my view. And they're you know, we've got the cheese shop. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked for him. But so there'll be somebody else who'll come along and take.
Because one of the things that's been a big bugbear for the smaller retailer has been business rates, and it's one of those things that nobody's been able to get on top of, because the smaller businesses really do get hammered on business rates in the southeast, as opposed to if you went to somewhere up north.
I did a research project for somebody when they brought the new system in, that rateable values of 15,000 or less didn't pay business rates. Mm. And if you actually start to look at some of the shops in the high street, you'd be amazed how many fall into that category.
Under 15,000 don't pay?
Don't pay business rates.
Is that what it's, that's what it's come to now, is
yes,
it? Rural?
Yes, yes. So that was a scheme brought in by the government to help small businesses. And it's a terrific boost to Wealden, because Wealden's got so many small shops that fall into that category.
Not on the high street, though.
Yes, they do. Yes,
really?
They do.
The rents are below 15,000?
Yeah, yes.
Then rents have come down haven't they?
There's a difference between rateable values and rents. Mm. I'm talking about rateable values. Mm. Now, if you've got a rateable value, which is what the district valuer thinks your property was worth as at 2008, which will be different to what it is today, and it's based on that figure. So if you, I mean, I remember Josephina, for example, in the high street, her rateable value is 12, so she doesn't pay any rates. My rateable value in my office went from 10,250 to 11,250. But because I'm under the threshold, I don't pay any rates. So whether I'm an office or a factory, some of the factories on Bellbrook have got rateable values of 8,000 and 9,000, so they're not paying any rates. So that's a huge incentive for the small businesses in Wealden, and it's been a big help. And not all the shops in the high street benefit, but quite a lot do.
Mm.
Certainly the ones in the out of the main drag will, which is good for the town.
Yeah.
So that has helped.
Now, as someone who's been in business in the town for 30 years, and congratulations, I think it's 30 years, isn't it?
30 years.
30 years. You'll be congratulated for that. That clearly helps you in your role in the Chamber of Commerce, from judging from what you've just been talking about. What can I say except for congratulations on your 30 years? And obviously, it does make your life a little easier as president.
Well, you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You meet people through the chamber. They'll say to you, I've been meaning to ring you about this, that or the other. So that helps from a business perspective as well. And I think if people see if you're standing up for a particular point of view, which is to bang the drum for business, that also helps as well.
Yeah. Now, we've seen in the last year the sad loss of your secretary, the secretary of the Chamber of Commerce, Ian Blackaller. We've just recently seen the departure of Bernard Smith as president, which means that you've got an all new top end of the chamber.
We've got a new vice president too. Two new vice presidents.
We're not going to go.
One, Mr. King, and
we're not going to mention
him. You heard of him?
I know him. Yeah, yes. we're not going to mention him. But I was going to say,
Andrew O'Neill from Outfield Matters as well.
Are you looking to take the chamber in a different direction? Or are you just going to steady the helm and continue on?
No, it's a bit of both, really. I mean, I've got one or two ideas which I want to present to the committee and see whether they think that's a good idea or not. Because obviously we're a democracy, so you can't just, you know, it's not a dictatorship. We can't just say, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. And we've got a number of people there who I think could be quite useful. I want to focus a bit more on planning issues, which we have perhaps not done as well as we might have done. We've got the new website to get up and running. We've got the business awards, which Gary's very heavily involved in and is leading the subgroup on that.
Mm-hmm.
That takes up quite a lot of time and effort, getting that organised and sponsored. So we'll see. It's a big group, so we've got to take the group with us.
Yeah.
And it's steady as she goes.
How do you keep the ordinary members interested, though?
Well, we're running at about 60-plus to a bi-monthly meeting, which is pretty healthy.
And
it's bigger than most of the other chambers in the immediate localities.
But your membership's obviously greater than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit short of 200 at the moment. I think it's about 160, 170, something like that at the moment. I mean, we're because of the changeover in secretaries, the renewals were late going out, but Ian's getting on, our new Ian Obel's getting on top of that. He's very good, but he's only employed for a set number of hours, so we've got to be careful how we use him, because he's also got a business to run as well. I think we're one of the things that we'll be talking about is the format of the bi-monthly meetings. I mean, there's only six meetings a year, and one of those is a social in the summer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a question of, can we make them a bit more interesting by bringing speakers along? We've already introduced a charity spot, because there's lots of charities who come and promote things as opportunities for businesses to promote special things that they're doing. And the new members, there seems to be new members every meeting, so they get 2 minutes to stand up and say who they are and what they do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it getting harder to attract new members?
I wouldn't say it's getting harder. I'd like to see more members from the high street. And I'm not quite sure how we achieve that yet, but, well, that's something for the group to talk about and see what we can do. We're a bit light.
Okay, well, let's do that. Let's do the selling bit now, then. For anybody that wants to join the Chamber of Commerce, what benefits and that are there to being a Chamber of Commerce member?
Well, you get the networking opportunities. You get the backing of the Chamber for business issues. So if you're a small business and you've got a concern, you can bruise the Chamber, and the Chamber's links with Sussex Chamber and ACES, which is the Association of East Sussex Chambers as well. Because if we have a problem of an issue in Crowborough, sorry, in Uckfield, it's quite like they've got it in Crowborough as well.
Yeah.
And so we can team up together to do that. And there has been a number of joint meetings between Hailsham, Uckfield and Crowborough in the past as well. It's playing your part in the community to a certain extent. Some people like the idea of having a certificate they can put on the wall that they're members of a business grouping.
Mm-hmm.
It's
one of many these days, because there are many sort of other networking opportunities for businesses these days, at breakfast meetings and goodness knows what other networking meetings.
I go to quite a lot of networking. I do the 4N group, which Gary's chairman of the Uckfield lunch meeting, 4N, and I do some of those groups. But I meet different people at those that don't go to necessarily go to chambers. I mean, the Uckfield lunch group does have quite a lot of people who are also members of the Uckfield chamber. The Heathfield chamber has a number of people that go to the Crowborough and Tunbridge Wells 4N group. So you do have a little bit of a cross flow of the same people that would do different meetings. You should see the hand movements here. Very good.
Yeah. It's good on radio. There's a webcam up there looking at you.
But by and large, people who do the chamber don't necessarily do lots of the other meetings.
That's what I meant. You've got. There are many other opportunities these days. So I mean, would that not necessarily lead to a decline in numbers as there are more opportunities out there?
It hasn't so far.
So you're going to have a drive to get a few more in then?
Well, I want not so much a drive. I'd like to see a bit more of the high street taking part.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we tried to alternate it between retail and non-retail as president, and you tended to do a year, not two. That's changed over the years, in that it's been a question. It got harder to find people to do the job. And probably the last well-known retail president was Adrian Corbyn.
Yeah.
Who did several years on the trot because nobody else wanted the job.
Don't tell Adrian that, for heaven's sake.
Hopefully he's not listening.
No.
Clearing
out the snow up in Norfolk, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I'd like to go back to a situation where we had a bit more input from the retail sector in the high street to address their concerns. Whether we can attract them in, I don't know. We may look at various issues to do with membership and how we do it, because at the moment there tends to be food at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Should we change that format and have food at the beginning of the meeting? For those that want
many
it.
Members falling asleep if you do that.
Well, it works. It works in some other organisations. Yeah. It means that those that want to can come and have that.
Yeah.
And those who just want to come to the meeting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have the situation that everyone's rushing to get through the meeting to get to the food.
So yeah.
There's some issues like that. Do we change? Do we fiddle with the format a bit? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what the group has to say.
The joys of being the president. You get to discuss all these things.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your reappointment. Many years down the line, may I say. And congratulations also on your 30 years of being in business in Uckfield. And Chris, I look forward to seeing you again very soon to report on some more. Chris Lawson, for now, thank you.
Thank you.